Despite the chaos in America, the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden is scheduled to go ahead on Wednesday, the 20th of January in Washington, D.C. The inauguration of Biden will mark the end of a tumultuous transition period in which President Trump has refused to verbally concede his election loss and baselessly stoked claims of voter fraud, which culminated in an insurrection in Congress on January 6. Biden's administration will face many challenges in the coming days, the first of which is the potential threat of another riot from Trump supporters. I asked John Barron, ABC US politics analyst and co-host of Planet America, what we may expect to see from a divided America on Inauguration Day.
74 million Americans voted for Donald Trump. That's impressive. That's more than any previous incumbent president had received. The trouble for him, of course, was that 81 million people voted for Joe Biden. It wasn't a close election. It was pretty cut and dried. It was a comfortable win in the Electoral College for Joe Biden, as well as the popular vote victory. But, of course, then we saw an unprecedented situation where, for more than 2 months, the outgoing president denied the legitimacy of the election itself. There were 150 or so Republicans in Congress who supported his challenge right to the bitter end. And we saw how that played out with an insurrection targeting the Capitol building itself a couple of weeks ago.
So should we be expecting to see any violence from these people on Inauguration Day or not?
There is a high level of alert amongst US authorities around Washington, D.C. It's in virtual lockdown. And a number of other state capitals, at least 10 at last count, have the National Guard mobilized. The National Guard is like America's state-based equivalent of the Army Reserve in Australia. Plus, they have federal troops, state and city troops as well, that have been deployed. It's unlikely that we're going to see widespread violence simply because people are being kept a long way away from where the action of the inauguration is happening.
With that in mind, the next thing that many people will be wondering about is what comes next. Biden has a cabinet picked out, even if the transition has been rocky, as you've mentioned. And additionally, the Democrats hold the House and, by a very narrow tiebreaker of the vice president, the Senate. What can we expect the biggest issues that the Biden administration will have to face in their first 100 days?
In the first 100 days, Joe Biden will have to complete the task of assembling an administration, getting his cabinet picks confirmed by the Senate. That has been made a much easier task by the fact that the Democrats now have the slimmest of margins possible in order to do that. Passing legislation, though, is more difficult. You don't have the same party discipline in the United States as you have in a country like Australia. So it's possible that on some policy areas, Joe Biden as president is going to struggle to even muster 50 Democratic votes. So he's going to have a certain uphill battle, but there is consensus around certain issues, including the rollout of the vaccine to try and combat the coronavirus pandemic. As to how much money America should be spending, though, to dig itself out of the deepest recession since the Great Depression of the 1930s, that's still very much an open question. So there'll be plenty of politics in the weeks and months ahead. But as Rahm Emanuel famously said, the first chief of staff for Barack Obama in 2009, you should never let a crisis go to waste. And it is in the next few months that we are going to see the purse strings loosened a bit, and Joe Biden will be at the zenith of his political power with just enough votes to get some things done.
What can we expect to see this Joe Biden at his zenith attempt to push through?
Joe Biden is politically a pragmatic centrist, a moderate, not nearly as progressive as the likes of Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. Biden is doing his best to try and keep those progressive forces on his side by pursuing some of their pet issues, including things like a $15 an hour minimum wage up from the current $7.25 an hour. Also looking at issues like subsidizing college tuition to a greater extent, making Medicare in the United States available to younger people. So he's doing what he can, but he also has to keep those more moderate and conservative supporters that he has in Congress happy as well. At the end of the day, Joe Biden was the Democratic nominee and elected president of the United States because he's not politically all that radical.
I I want to shift gears and go back to Congress. There is one big thing that they will also be dealing with beyond budget and coronavirus in the future, and that is, of course, the second impeachment of Trump. How can we expect this impeachment to play out now that there is that slim majority in the Senate?
Unlike back in January of 2020, when President Trump's first impeachment went to the Senate for trial, where they have the option of either convicting and removing from office or acquitting and leaving in office, this time it's not about removing Trump from office, because it'll be happening when Trump is no longer president, but it will be about potentially stopping Donald Trump ever coming back to office. So while those who would like to convict Donald Trump of high crimes and misdemeanors for inciting an insurgency on the Capitol building on the 6th of January, while they would like to be able to convict him, and they will need 67 votes, but then they need just a 51-vote majority in order to resolve that Donald Trump never hold another office of profit under the federal government, which includes the presidency. So it would disqualify him from running in 2024 or thereafter. What is also different about this particular impeachment process is that there are a number of Republicans who would be very happy to stop Donald Trump ever making a comeback, potentially including the most powerful Republican in the Senate, Mitch McConnell. He was the one that essentially got Donald Trump off in early 2020 when they acquitted without hearing any evidence at all over his impeachment. This time, though, the Democrats get to pick the rules of evidence. They get to bring motions forward, but they still need those 67 or two-thirds majority vote in order to convict.
All right. Lastly, what can we expect to see from Trump post-presidency?
I guess the first thing that we all want to know is how quietly into the night does Donald Trump go? Does he become yet another ex-president, a seemingly failed president like a George H.W. Bush or a Jimmy Carter, somebody who goes quiet but maybe tries to rehabilitate his image in the future, or maybe just tries to go back to making lots of money? Donald Trump has a $400 million debt that he will be having to repay in the next couple of years unless he refinances it. So I'll be looking out to see whether he tries to monetize his former presidency any further.
John Barron, ABC US politics analyst and co-host of Planet America, speaking with me there. I'm Ryan Stanton, broadcasting throughout Australia on the Community Radio Network.